Okay, we go into our last session today, and I hope that the last session would be very, very enriching as well. I hope that you will really have a better framework of prayer and five things which I think you want to look at as your framework would be very, very helpful. Okay, well, let's pray together as we begin the last session. Our Father, we pray for your grace to be given to us as we attend to look at what we can do with reference to the developments of our prayer life. Pray that we will conclude our study of your word, our desire to determine to pray at a deeper level would be fulfilled. So we pray that you will speak to our hearts once again this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we turn to now 33 and 34. And again here we come to the point of God revealing His Word. Then the Lord said to Moses. Okay, again here we see the whole idea of God speaking to the Lord. Again here, first point, Lordship. Second point, revelatory word. And so the Lord revealed, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, and the Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. I will not go up your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Now, that would be a very, very, very solemn set of words uttered. But this time, we hear that it is in the hearing of the people rather than to Moses alone. See the difference between the chapter 32 and 33? Okay? In chapter 32, the conversation is really between God and Moses. In chapter 33, and when the people heard this bad news, and here is the difference. Okay, to this time is to the people. Much of 32 is God to Moses. I thought, just to highlight this, to bring this a nuance here, that you can see the difference between the two chapters. And once you see this, perhaps you will understand this a little bit better. Okay? Now, we have very, very similar words said. Angel, angel. Right? And then the people, when they heard these words, this bad news, they mourned. See the difference in reaction? That's your difference between an intercessor, a mature person, versus general people. They do not know how to relate to the Lord. They do not know how to relate to revelation from the Lord's word. Now, if you were to take all these things, these solemn words together, put them all together, in the light of what we have been discovering about the Lord revealing His word, Would these words be considered bad news? You see that? See, it just only proves the point here. Many of us may not know how to handle the word of the Lord. I mean, take a look at what it says here. Okay? And there are certainly points of not so good news. But what is the good news part of it? The good news part, you will go to the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Okay? And then there is the angel to be sent with them. And then the Canaanites and all the others will be driven out. And then the Lord said, I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way. Where is the bad news part? It's as if they read it all bad news. See, this is where the intercession part of it becomes a real challenge. The nuances are being lost along the way. Is this entirely, totally, completely meant to be bad news? But you know how to read this. And much of their reaction would tell us and warn us about our own reaction at times. When we read the Lord's Word, we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to interpret it. We don't know how to apply it. We see all these things there, and we think, wow, must be bad news. But what are we expecting? That everything is wonderful, everything is good, that everything is rosy, everything is okay completely? Come on, we know it's not going to be the case. You know it's not going to be true entirely. See, again here, we need to learn things like that. And we need to appreciate the fact that God is saying all these things. Now, let's catch this a little bit about this. Why suddenly bring out all these things? Then the Lord said to Moses. Why suddenly it is mentioned, or then let's move on from here? See, these nuances are not caught easily, but they are important to catch. Okay? Remember what Moses prayed earlier? Go back to chapter 32. And so Moses pleaded with the Lord. Why does your wrath burn hot against your people? And then he said, remember Abraham, Isaac, Israel. Right? Right up to now, God hasn't said a word about this prayer yet. Did you realize this? Until now. Now you've got to catch these nuances. I mean, you know, if you really want to understand this relationship between this prayer, this intercession between God and Moses. As much as Moses... Okay, watch this very carefully. Okay? The Lord says to Moses, and then he highlights the sin, and then in this idolatry of the calf. Then Moses to the Lord about God's anger, and then he pleads to remember. Okay? Here he sees the actual sin, Moses to the Lord again, and he pleads for forgiveness. He offers himself as atonement, and so on and so forth. He says, blot out my life. He offers himself as a sacrifice. And the Lord says to Moses, and explain this atonement thing, Book of Life thing. But this part of it, where he says, remember, in God's reply, not yet answered until 33. You see, as much as God wants Moses to pay attention to nuances, God pays attention to nuances too. Because this time there is clarity. I will drive out the Hivites, the Perizzites, and all the others in the land. So that God wants Moses to know that he pays attention to the details that Moses brings up to the Lord. Do you know that God is interested in your details too? God is interested in your details. As much as God is interested in His own details. Many of us pray generally. And I want to share with you this thought that He goes into details. But when the people heard, there were no details. This is bad news. I don't know whether you ever pay attention to details, because you really should. You really should. There is much meaning in details when it comes to intercessory work. And I mean it. Every little thing counts. But this is something the people had not learned. And so the people heard, and then there we go. Okay? But there were many things undecided. The people heard this, they moaned. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up in your midst in one moment and consume you." So it's not just an idolatrous problem now. It's a stiff-necked problem now. You see? So now we are looking at another detail, a problem of being stiff-necked, as it were. And so the people stripped themselves of the ornaments. How serious do you think they portray themselves? Well, they're saying sorry and they're bedecked with ornaments. I'm going to pray to God. Let me just do this. Let me do that. Let me paint here. Let me paint there. Now I'm ready to talk to God. How serious are you? Obviously not. Only when the threat is there, I am not going to the land with you. Oh yeah, I better take off my earrings. We are looking at very basic, low levels of comprehension of God. Remember, the Lord. That knowledge, that relationship, that role is just not understood. Unfortunately, that is something that we want to seriously consider. All right? Something that we want to look at very carefully. Now, let's go on further. Okay, we're just going to look at this part where Moses meets with the Lord, the seventh part, the verse 11. We just skip that part. Then Moses said to the Lord. Now, if you have a word like this, how do you pray? Remember, prayer is a response intercessorily. Now you've got the situation sized up. Okay? Now that I've sized up the situation, how do you pray? And this is where we look at the prayer. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people." Again, where do we begin? The Lord. Let's begin with you, Lord. And you talk about you leading me. And you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet, you have said, "I know you by name, and you also found grace in my sight." Wow, this is something that's very, very important. Okay? Now, in chapter 33, there was a distinction made very clearly between Moses and the people. Verse 11, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." You see, our relationship with God matters. Really, really matters a lot. And I want to encourage you to cultivate this relationship with everything you got. Now, no atonement. Moses is not going to make that prayer ever again. What is he going to count on this time? Okay, now faced with the fact God said, "You go to the land, I'll send an angel with you, my angel will go with you." Okay, but something which I don't want to go up with you because. And then Moses said to the Lord, okay, watch this. And so he said, this is so vital that we need to understand. Look at the plea of Moses. And then he said, "You said to me, bring up these people." You know, God actually likes us to be able to say to Him after we've understood what He means. He really does. Not that we're going to say anything different. Not that we're going to say something very, very wonderful or profound. But the very act of taking the time and the trouble to know exactly what God said to him, and then to bring it back to the Lord in prayer, is a very, very special thing to God. You see, that's relationship. In a relationship between man and God, one of the most important things to be able to say to God is what He has said to you. And he was able to say to God, "God, you said to me to bring up these people. Okay, I've done that. And you say to me, I know you by name," which is very special privilege. "And you have found grace in my sight." Okay? And all these things are true. So what now? Wow, these are very, very, very special things. And so Moses then now pleads for grace. He pleads that grace very, very, very strongly now. And he said, "Therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. Consider this nation is your people." Wow, if you have just no idea how profound this thoughts really, really are. Show me now your way. So he had already told Moses, "You can go and possess the land." A very general statement. Moses knows better than to accept general statements. Okay? A general friend talks generally. But a very close relationship, we don't say general things. Show me your way. As only a friend would ask. And he said, of course, he's not counting on his friends. He's really working on the grace part of it. You know, it is wonderful to be able to pray like this. Show me your way. Psalm 25, David prays the same thing. Show me your way. Now, he went on further. That I may know you. Those are the very words that God said to Moses many times. That Pharaoh may know. That the Egyptians may know. That all may know. And so God began to display one sign after another wonder. Right? Then, that you may know there is no other God like our God. Lord, show me your way, that I may know you. We all assume we know God. We all assume we know His ways. Reverse it. We all assume we know His ways. We all assume we know Him. Do you? Moses was going to ask this. If I have that, and that I may find grace in your sight. You say I find grace? Okay, let me find this. Let me show me this grace. The point of it all, the idea here is, show me your way. What way is that? But what way is Moses talking about? Show me now your way. What is God's way? They're talking about a route, turn left at the next hillock. No, it's not a physical way. But what is this show me your way part? It's profound, more ways than one. Now, because of time, I'm gonna get it down to the last. Behold, of the point of it all was this. Consider these people your people. That was what he was asking for. Consider these people is your people. Wow. You see? Show me your way. These people, your people. That I may know you. These people, your people. That I may find grace in your sight. These people, your people. You know, that's what he was saying. See how profound it is? He's not saying, show me your way. He's not personal here. Because deep down, he sensed what God was saying. He knew what God was implying. God had not said all these things yet. Okay? Now what's this response? God's response, very gracious. Number one, I have listed one, and then two. My presence will go with you. Okay? And I will give you rest. What was that all about? Was that what Moses was praying for? No, this was an answer to the previous prayer. So you've got to keep track of Moses' prayer, you know. Remember that? Okay, I'm not going to go with you. Okay, you can have the land. Now Moses pleads. Reference to the previous prayer, please. You say you're not going to go with us. Show me your way, that I may know you. If I found grace in your sight, consider this people is your people. You know, God said, okay, I hear you. My presence will go with you. Did Moses understand what God was saying? Did God understand what Moses was saying? They seem to be, you know, I say something, there's a time lag, go to the back, you know, over here. But Moses knew what God was doing. He really understood God. It's for us who are non-Moses to understand what this is all about. So Moses pursues this. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Wow. At last, he obtains what he is praying for. And he obtains this, and God said, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. Meaning, this will be my people, as you have spoken. Okay? You have found grace in my sight. Now, back to the prayer now, this present prayer. I do know you by name. So sometimes, as you look at prayer, there are backlogged prayers, you know. And God is going to answer that backlogged prayer before bringing up speed to this present prayer. And when you pray, please remember what you pray for. Because God could be answering that prayer that you have forgotten. So it's up to us to train ourselves to remember things. There is again here the complexity, the intricacy of intercessory prayer. That's absolutely amazing, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? Any questions you want to ask in this minute here? Okay, so here is Moses initiating. You say, I found grace in your sight. Let me ask this. Okay, I mean, this is, yeah. I see. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Orange mic. Or double red or double orange. Can't see.
Mic test. Yeah, okay. Sorry to interrupt, Pastor.
Yeah, go ahead.
When Moses asked, show me your way.
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with Jesus saying he is the way? Not at all.
No, not at all. No. It's a very, very you know, Moses is showing he can be as complex, you know. He's really showing that he understands God. Show me your way. And it is not physical. Okay? If I have found grace in your sight, they're tied in together. Okay? Because God had not said, this people, His people. He only said, you let them, your people. And God had not changed His words then. From the time of coming down to the mountain, go down, the people you led have corrupted themselves, quickly turn out of the way. God hadn't changed His position yet. Moses must move God's hand on this matter. This is what he's talking about. No. Just because there is a co-relationship with a reference to the word way does not necessarily mean that part of it. No. It's something else altogether. But this is where he understands it. Okay? In God's word, remember the nuances. There are many, many things, and they are interlaced. They're different parts. And every part, remember, we talk about general and then details. In intercessory prayer, this is not the way we pray. In intercessory prayer, this is where we look into details. And the details that are there, they must go into these things here. Your people, not yet said, must. On what basis? I cannot plead atonement, right? Cannot. Can I plead grace now? Because grace tells me I don't deserve it. Can I plead grace? Yes. That's what he's pleading now. It's as New Testament as you can get now. That grace, if I have found grace in your sight, okay, then please. Again here, I want to say this to you. Relationship between Moses and God is critically important. At this point of time. But you cannot, no matter how close you are to God, you cannot plead your own life for another person's life. But you may plead grace all you want. Because there is no limit to grace. Go ahead, please. Well, God has already given a promise. I will send an angel, you can have the land, I will drive out the Hivites, the Jebusites, all the enemies, the Perizzites, and everybody else. Wasn't that good enough? No. Lord, there's something missing here. So God said, okay, my presence will go with you. I will go with you. I said I won't go with you. Now, I will go with you. You will go with us? You must go with us. Because if you don't go with us, what's the point of the land without your presence? It's not that he's making a distinction between the Lord and the angel. But he caught the nuance. It's different. There is something missing here. Are the people, the people's level ornaments, have the land quite good already? Half a loaf is better than none. And many people will think half a loaf is better than none. Not as far as Moses is concerned. Either it's God's presence or not at all. Then don't bring us to the land. No point. So we are rich in everything and what for? Your presence is not with us. What do we treasure most? So God said, okay, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. You know, you have no idea how God loves to hear our prayers. You have no idea how God loves to give to us what we ask for. provided you pray for grace, in grace, by grace. I will also do this. Remember, he's already asked for a lot. Anger, please move. Don't be angry. Even though he was angry. Right? And so he pleads. Misstep, misspoken. Alright, I shouldn't pray that way. But let me ask for this. But basically, down the bottom line, he wants God to regard Israel as his people, as original. Until that was done, he would plead with the Lord all the way through. Okay? Then he prayed on further. Please show me your glory. Wow. And then we have another response. 3. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face. What was Moses asking when he said, show me your glory? Now this is really extending it. This is really, really extending it. Because this part of the glory part of it is not covered. God has mentioned nothing of it. He has not intimated any part of it. But now Moses was asking for something that wasn't there in the equation at all. See? This is relationship. Now, God's glory has been seen 10 times in Egypt. God's glory has been seen pillar, cloud, by day, night, fire. Glory of God seen in the provision of manna every day. You just try to imagine feeding people, 2 million people, all our, literally every bread factory in Singapore must work very, very hard to produce and the amount of manna to be given to the people. And if they are thirsty people like Singaporeans, we are talking lots of water needed. Every part is already the glory of God revealed. What are you looking for, Moses? The next level. That extra something. I have seen this. I stand in awe. I've seen that. I stand in awe. But I know there is something more. And it's called your glory. What is that? What is Moses asking for? You cannot put your finger at it. You just cannot place your finger at what he's saying exactly when he said, glory, show me your glory. And God's reply reveals what Moses is asking. You know, he is not asking. Many people look for answers, and we should. This is beyond answer. Have you ever prayed for beyond answer? And that's amazing. Show me your glory. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim by the name of the Lord before you. Okay? And then he went on to say, you cannot see my face. That's what he meant. So when you see the word face to face, we're not talking actual face to face. with talking. You know, God doesn't speak to Moses in dreams and visions. God speaks to Moses directly His word. And He says, show me your face. Wow, that is really, really something different. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, you shall stand on the rock, so it shall be. While my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, cover you with my hand. And I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back. You shall catch a glimpse, a portion of that, but you will not see my face. What would you ask for? Okay, what would you ask for? And so He begins. God opens up now what He's going to do. Okay? Now I need to lead you up to this glory part, because it's an important part that you must consider. It may not seem very important, may not even seem relevant, but it is. And the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Okay? Be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself to me there. No man shall come up with you. Let no man be seen throughout all the mountains. No flocks, no herds, nothing. So he cut 2 tablets of stone, rose up early in the morning, as the Lord commanded him. What is this all about? It is such an elaborate thing. Oh, you broke the stone, huh? Oh yeah, you knew, huh? Of course. Of course. Symbolically, the covenant was broken, because the word contained the elements or the idea of the covenant. Moses, you wanted to ask me my people? Then my people must know my word. My people must know my covenant laws. I will give you back the covenant word. Okay? So he went up early in the morning, and then there it was. What did Moses want? And so he said it. But God said, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You want to see the glory of the Lord? Just one part. The proclamation of God's name is all the glory that Moses can stand. You want to see the glory? God said, I will reveal my name to you. And so we read in verse 8. So Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshipped, and said, If now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people. Pardon us our iniquity and our sin. Take us as your inheritance. There you see his prayer once again. In such moments, the best prayer, the best thing to do, to bow his head toward the earth. On his knees, his head toward the earth. Completely low, prostration, bow. And there he worshipped. And there he prayed once again. Five different things. Okay, one. If I have found grace, it's all about grace. It's not about you, Moses. It's not blot out my name. Blot out, no. Moses, you got it wrong. This is right. Grace. Okay, two. Let grace be expressed. Go among us. Now remember we're talking about a sin problem? Moses recognized what God is saying. Israel is still stiff-necked. They still don't know how to relate to God. They still don't understand God. They still didn't. Okay, and then we read that he prayed this prayer. Pardon our iniquity. We are still stiff-necked. Take us as your people, despite all our sinfulness. Now, I think it's important for us to understand what Moses is saying over here. By the way, do you know how long this prayer took? This prayer session with Moses took, just going up to the mountain. You know this period of time, that this prayer is recorded, how long it actually took going up to the mountain, talking to God? 40 days, 40 nights. Second, 40 days, 40 nights. First one, God spoke to him. 40 days, 40 nights. 40 days, 40 nights, he was spent with God, much of it in prayer. I think it's important for us to understand what this means. It is not as you may imagine. It is not as simple as you may imagine. Don't ever take prayer lightly. 40 seconds, we're done. It's not. It's patient work. It's persevering work. It is persistence. It is family. It is using the mind. It is using the heart. It is using every sense to catch what God is saying. And then, that's what prayer really is. The focus now is all about grace. For that's what grace is all about when it comes to prayer even. Paul used grace, but he was not the first person who used this idea of grace. Moses, he may be the lawgiver, but he understood grace too. It's amazing how God will yield, how God will answer our prayers. Now I'm going to summarize a number of things for you tonight. Okay? And the first lesson that I think that is very vital about it is that you as an intercessor, you must have these four things. And I'm not saying that these are the only four things, but these are the four things that you must have at least. You must have knowledge of God. And if you are not committed, if you do not, you are not making very definite efforts to know God and know God well, your role in prayer, your own personal prayers, don't talk about intercession, will never go beyond a certain level. Now I've scaled back a lot of things that I want to say because of time. There is so much more to learn. But when God proclaimed His name as He did, it is so absolutely vital that we understand. It's just such an awe-inspiring thing. God's knowledge must be understood. Moses said, that I may know you. Does he not already know God? Of course he does. It is a language of Paul too, that I may know him. If ever anyone knew the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul did. If anyone knew God, Moses did. And yet, that I may know you. And yet, many of us do not have this drive, that I may know you. But we should. Knowledge of God. A pursuit. Lifelong. Secondly, you remember the early days when Moses began? I cannot, please send somebody else. He's not saying that anymore. No, it never happened. You know, Moses tells God, Pharaoh didn't listen to us. No more that too. A faith relationship has grown from that to face-to-face relationship with God. Has your faith relationship grown? You must work on this. Very vital to prayer is you got to have compassion on people. It's not just a matter of I like people, don't like people. But if you cannot even like people, you don't relate to people, you don't care about people, you don't want to talk to people, and you want to have compassion on them. Really? How is that possible? Stiff-necked people, sinful people, bad people. If there is no compassion, there will be very little prayer. Vital lesson. This is only four things. I'm just highlighting them because it's impossible to go through every single point again. But the humility that is there is vital. Absolutely vital. You must understand what he's gone through. He's gone through so very much already. Mistakes, misspoken, missteps, and so on and so forth. He went on. Humility. We need at least these four things about the intercessor. You must have these things. Now, we move on to the intercession process itself. As by now you know, much of it is experimental. Should I plead this? Blot out my name. Wow. Nope. Wrong way to pray. Much of it you have to experiment. You have to say or pray this. It doesn't work. Okay, now what am I learning? But if it does work, what am I learning? Our prayers are so standard, so run of the mill, so factory made. That's all there is to it. Prayer is never factory made. You want to learn about intercession? Look for insight, what I call nuance. Really, nuance. Insight. Very few of us seem to have picked up insights, nuances. But they are vital for intercessory prayer. And every intercessor knows how vital it is to search for that thing. And God wants us to search for that thing to pray. Not that He does not know, but this is His delight that we should do this. And then finally, lessons about God. And all these lessons about God is as He has revealed Himself. Never our own thoughts, never our own arguments, never our own ideas about God. They are useless. But when God has revealed Himself to us, that's precious. But remember this, it must never be theoretical. Theoretical knowledge doesn't go anywhere. But it is knowledge hidden in the heart too. And it may be recalled in prayer. It is remembered. It is brought forth. It is pleaded very carefully, brought before the Lord. Knowledge of God is life-changing, to say the least. And Moses will never be the same again. In chapter 34, we read, the face of Moses shone. Verse 35, the skin of Moses' face shone. You're a prayer warrior, it will be seen very obviously. You're a person who is intercessor, it will be seen very clearly. It's something we want to consider. And then finally, I want to challenge you to look at this not just as some activity we do, but it's something that is really wonderful and precious. A lifelong thing. Prayer is never making use of God. Never. Prayer is very, very much a relationship you treasure. You never use prayer. You never just simply say a prayer. It is a very precious relationship. This is how Moses understood intercessory prayer work. You know, in just a few chapters like this, we catch glimpses of how much Moses progressed from the time he began to the man that he became. You know, it did not take a whole long time. It wasn't years. All these things happened literally within the first year. He learned through life experiences. He learned on the spot. He learned in practice. He learned it in ministry. There's no other way. It's not reading book. It has to be learned. That's what real prayer is. You actually enter into it and you pray and you say, wow, so this is what it is. And I want to encourage you to begin. Begin somewhere. 5 things. Begin with the Lord's Lordship. Look for that love revelatory word. Understand your role. Do what God tells you to do. Fulfill what God wants you to fulfill first. These 5 things must be a part of our life all the time. Then comes the intercessory part. There are lots of things we need to learn about intercession. They will have to be learned, because each part of prayer, each time you pray, each time you intercede, you learn different things. In summary, it's always about yourself, it's about the intercessory process, it's about God. And that's what we're looking at, always. What have you learned about yourself? What have you learned about intercession itself? What have you learned about God? And if you can work on these things here, right, it will help a great deal. Can I urge you, if ever there is one text you want to memorize, it would be Exodus 34. Verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And I don't know whether you are given to memorizing the Lord's Word. I hope you will be. I don't know whether you pray with the Lord's Word in mind. I hope you will try. It takes all these things to enter into prayer, into intercession, as Moses practiced it. There is nothing shallow about the way Moses prayed. Nothing. But he learned. And I hope that you will pray for your children profoundly. But I'm afraid you cannot pray one profound prayer just like that. Sometimes it is just a moment that will help you capture a thought, a point of prayer. And then you watch, and then you pray. And if you have many such moments, many such challenges, then your prayer life will deepen significantly. You must want to be there. And I hope that you will be there. I hope you will. I know you will. You will say, wow, these are great lessons. I want to do this. Don't say too loudly. Just practice. Just learn. Practice Lordship. Really practice Lordship. In prayer, Lord, I submit. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Practice it as Jesus did. Behold, I come to do your will. Not my will, but yours be done. Lordship. How wonderful it is. Pray very much. Revelation. wisdom, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Ephesians 1. Right? Verse 15, very clearly. 15, 16. Since I heard of your faith, do not cease to give thanks to God for you. And then he went on further to say, the 17th. Very clearly, a spirit of wisdom and revelation will be given in knowledge of him. Eyes of the understanding being opened, we'll be able to know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of God's calling? It is far greater than you imagine. God calls us. Look at how God said, I will also do this as you have said. How wonderful it is to be able to understand this. Alright, over to you for the last few questions. I have studied these chapters many times, many years, again and again and again. And I still stand amazed at what Moses did as he stood in prayer before God. All right, over to you for questions. And I want to ask you, to urge you, to look at developing your prayer life every way you can. Every way possible. Alright, question before you. I'm going to end about now because we've got cleaning up to do and all. Okay? Any questions you want to raise up?
Pastor, you've shown us from Exodus 6 when Moses started by asking why to this part where he really understands the will of God. I'm not sure about everybody else, but it seems like a very difficult role to play as an intercessor. You want to compare yourself with someone like Moses. In fact, it seems almost impossible that even someone like Moses of his standing would have to plead for the grace of God. What more some yeah. people like us where, you know, we are probably not even in nursery as far as this is concerned.
Right.
So are there any how do you even start becoming or embarking on this process of learning how to be an intercessor?
Well, I think that we have a great advantage over here, more than Moses. And I tell you, the greatest advantage is that we have the Spirit of God given to us who will move us to pray. Romans 8 is a very precious passage. Now I want to say this to you, that if you so desire to pray, and tonight as we close in prayer, and you say, Lord, I want to learn how to pray. Now I'm awed, I'm scared, I don't even know where to begin. Begin here. Romans 8. Begin here, where Paul wrote very, very strenuously, and he says these very wonderful words. And this is absolutely wonderful to know. Verse 16, we read, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, we are children of God. How wonderful it is to know this. And then we look at what he will do, even as he confirms this within our hearts. We are going to be led, in verse 14, by the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Two words I use when I pray to God. One, that He is Lord. Two, that He is Father. And on this basis, I learned. I keep learning. I keep persevering. Over the years, first year, first 10 years, next 10 years, I keep learning. Because if I don't, I'll never do it. People look at you and they are awed. Wow, you are a surgeon. Where do you start? With a dead body. And then you make mistakes. And you learn until you develop a feel. It's always a feel, isn't it? It's never just clinical. Prayer is no different. You start. And the Spirit of God will move your heart to pray. Because you pray as a child of God now. This is our great advantage. And our great advantage, the Spirit of God will move our hearts to pray. But we must dare to learn the lessons. We must unlearn all the wrong lessons. And I use the word unlearn. If we do not unlearn the bad habits of praying, if we do not unlearn this habit of praying through the night, sleeping, if we do not unlearn all these bad things that we have picked up over the years, we'll never learn. We pray and we learn. There will come times when you will pray for people who desperately need you to pray for them, and they ask you to pray, and tears come. And tears come because the Spirit of God moves us to pray. Prayer is the most moving relationship a child can have with his father. And this is what God treasures most. That He is Father to us. We regard Him, love Him, honor Him as Father, and we pray as children. And we learn bit by bit how to enter into prayer first. And then we move into intercession. Thank God, the Spirit of God takes our prayers. And He prays alongside us with words that cannot be uttered. How we must be moved to pray. So we begin to pray for those who need our help. Those, perhaps your family. Or we move on to other people. To other needs, to other fields. Maybe you can't start there, but we start here with the Spirit of God leading us to pray. And every time you pray and you are conscious that the Spirit of God is teaching you how to pray, you will grow in prayer. But it's not going to happen overnight. Neither do we expect it to happen overnight. But we can pray. We can learn how to pray. And God will be there to help us. I hope a child, as a child, literally, sometimes we all do not know how to be children of God. A child is never tired of crying out. To the parents, never. Automatically, we've lost what it means to be like children to God. We start where? Please, we start there. We are not asking you to go into anything else yet. Just start here. Let God lead you. There was only one Moses. Just one. We couldn't have picked a finer example of one who prayed. Lots of things we can learn. I've singled out five things as a framework. Start with this. Start with this. Don't talk about intercessory prayer just yet. Start with this. And every time you pray, practice Lordship. Every time you pray, exercise knowledge. Every time you pray, ask yourself, what is my role? Every time you pray, have I done my part? Every day I review, have I done what I need to do today? I must. And then I seek to fulfill. Not just to obey, but to fulfill. Not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. And then you move on from there. Next level. We must. It is a wonderful thing to be able to pray for a friend. It really is. A person wrote back to me and he said to me, thank you for praying. You know, thank you. The surgical procedure went well. Not a hitch. Nothing. Just perfect. So I'm happy for you. Rejoice now. That is much. Take time to rejoice too when God hears and answers prayer. Praise Him. Take time. I will extol you, O God. Psalm 145. That's what we do. Okay? Tomorrow we prepare our heart for worship. Let's come with the spirit of prayer. And I urge you, start praying for your children. Start praying for the things you need to pray about. I pray. For the concert. For the youth conference. So many things to do to learn how to pray. And every opportunity is for us to learn. Okay? Don't be so free with all kinds of words of advice to people. Be much more in prayer. That's the wisest thing to do. Okay? And keep praying. Well, thank you all for being here. Let's pray together.
Our Father, we just want to bow our heads in thanksgiving prayer for grace to sustain us, for wisdom to fathom your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God, our seal, is our guarantor. The Father teaches how to sense His inspiration, to sense His leading, and to live and to pray and to minister as we should. We pray that this lessons we've learned this couple of days will stand us in good stead for the rest of our life. As we minister to our children in prayer, intercession. As we think of people who need our prayer support. Teach us to pray as Moses did. We are grateful that we are your people. We are grateful that we can be called indeed a chosen people, a chosen generation, a holy priesthood. Help us to become people of prayer. We pray humbly in Jesus.
Well,
thank you, Pastor. Thank you.